So we're here at the Edinburgh Fringe. We're at Fringe Central. It is always good to bump into people who have stories, stories behind stories, because you have a secret. Who am I talking to?
I do. My name's Philip Simon, and I used to be Daddy Pig in the stage production of Peppa Pig.
So let's get the story about how you ended up there, or maybe arrived there.
It was an acting job. I was an actor before I started stand-up, and one day my agent told me about an audition that I could go for. It was a bit of puppetry, but they wanted actors who could be on stage with the puppet and do the expressions and play the character rather than a puppeteer that hides away behind scenery.
Now, what made you decide to bring that as a story? And also, I'm quite interested in this. I love the words work in progress, because you're experimenting too. So what made that come to the Fringe?
So I think the Fringe should be about work in progress. I think it should be about developing who you are as a performer and putting a show together so that you can bring it here, hopefully, the following year. I started thinking about it because a few years ago I became a dad myself. And when you're looking for inspiration for how to be a parent, you look for any source of help you can find. And for me, Daddy Pig was such a big part of my life. For a year and a half, we did the tour, and it was in the West End in London. So such a big part of my life that there were bound to be some bits that have rubbed off on me.
I guess billing stand-up comedy in the great place, the Free Fringe up here, you've got probably loads of material to draw on from that whole experience, you know. And here you are telling the story and hopefully making us laugh.
Hopefully making you laugh. So far it's been all right making people laugh. There's some material from the shows itself, and there's some material about my life either side of doing the show, dating, having children. I'm trying to do some spots at the Fringe as well in compilation shows to help plug this show. And I'm really trying to make sure there's no crossover of material there. So this show's more about telling the story with jokes peppered around it. And then when I do my compilation shows, that's more sort of one-liner gags, jokes that I write.
And this isn't to diminish Peppa Pig in any way. It's a huge hit, huge following, as we get interrupted by Fringe Central. But that was a huge hit. And so as an actor, though, did you feel a bit like Alice in Wonderland, you know, in some strange world, that you as an actor were, you know, with a very, very large, cuddly pink pig?
It was an amazing experience, because the children who came to see the show, huge fans of Peppa Pig, absolutely huge fans. And because it was the official production, it was made in conjunction with the creators of Peppa Pig and with the licensors, the people who owned the brand as well. They really made sure everything was accurate. That's why we did it as puppets and not as you would normally have with children's shows, which is the huge football mascot costumes. They did that because of the proportions. If you've got Peppa Pig as a human-sized character, then Daddy Pig would be colossal. So we did it with the puppetry, which was amazing. There was a phenomenal puppet master called Nigel Plaskett, who we worked with, who's worked on everything you can imagine puppet-wise. Labyrinth, Star Wars, Spitting Image. He's currently the PG Tips monkey in the commercials. So we're not slumming it on this production. It was a great experience. And you get to see kind of it all from the inside. You get to see how children's television, children's theatre is so impactful on children's lives. We had two-year-olds going to the theatre.
But if I dedicated 6 years of my life to a PhD in what we call the essential qualities of Peppa Pig that led to its success, what might be on the list?
I could do that in one class. So you could have probably 5 years and 11 months back.
Sorry, it's just scuppered my PhD. Swine. Oops.
Oh. The key to Peppa Pig is nothing bad happens in Peppa's world.
So it's our deep wish for, you know, a much, much better version of what we've all currently got.
Peppa's world is the utopian society we can all aspire towards, for right. Sure, yeah.
And when you do the stand-up comedy, do you keep the respect for that, or do you play with it?
You play around with it a bit, because whilst children love the show, they're not my audience in the stand-up, and the parents have a very different relationship to all children's television, because for some of them it's a babysitting service where you can just put an episode on for 5 minutes and let the kids watch. Yeah. So we find ourselves making light-hearted fun of it, but there's always a reverence to it, because this was a huge part of my life. I loved doing the job, and as tiring as any job can be, puppetry, touring around. It was very influential in my life.
Now, I'm not saying you're not excited and enjoying your stand-up show here, but you know, when I look on the flyer, you are surrounded by sunshine. There is perfection about your hair. You are smiling with teeth I would die for. And yet the guy I'm talking to needs a shave. You know, looks like he's a bit knackered. Did this burn you out a bit? Is stand-up comedy your revenge on the years this took from your life?
What a way to find out. I look hideous today. Thank you so much.
I don't think I'm the opposite. You do look a bit like you've just fallen out of Teletubbies.
I don't feel bad about diminishing your PhD now.
Yeah. I'm down to half a page now.
I was very lucky in that last week my wife and children came up to visit me. So wonderful to see them, but it meant sharing a room. We were all up at 5 o'clock every morning. This is why I look how I look. It's the halfway through the fringe, so everyone's, I'm loving this. This is, for me, much, much more relaxing because I'm not at home changing nappers.
Yeah. And I guess that's part of it. You know, what makes this work at Edinburgh, doesn't it, is it's the human being now, not the ideal, not the airbrushed you. And you can make a lot of fun and get comedy out of that. But now you've had to step out of that skin and become it's harder on the fringe, isn't it, to get laughs and walk in and feel knackered?
It's very easy to get laughs on the fringe. It's harder to get an audience.
Are you hearing that, everyone?
I always make a comment because Edinburgh is such a Harry Potter city, that the only people that come to my show seems to be the Harry Potter fans, and they turn up wearing invisibility cloaks, which is really frustrating. Getting the laugh isn't, because people are here for comedy. That's what they've come for. So if you can't make people laugh that want comedy, you're in the wrong city. But getting your stuff noticed among thousands of other very worthy productions, and some other work in progress productions, some development, that's the hard bit, is just getting noticed.
And this interview is aimed at getting an audience, well-deserved performer here that needs more people at the fringe. So this is Paul Evie from Radio North Korea signing off.